Remember, Katrina, you must call me Doctor.
Have you ever thought what it's like to be wanderers in the fourth dimension? To be exiles?
This is the Doctor speaking. Well, one of them. Is there anybody there?
I hate computers and refuse to be bullied by them.
And their leader was called?
The Doctor.
Are you trying to tell us that you are the Doctor?
That's right. I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow so the TARDIS should be free of the force field.
You may be a Doctor, but I'm the Doctor. The definite article, you might say. Would you like a jelly, baby?
I'm a Time Lord.
I'm the Doctor. Or will be if this regeneration works out. And it seems not a moment too soon.
How do you do? I'm the Doctor.
I am the Doctor!
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life!
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm the Doctor.
I'm Aldi.
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
Both eyes are cool.
It's not working.
We're both reversing the polarity.
Yes, I know that.
There's two of us. I'm reversing it, you're reversing it back again. We're confusing the polarity.
Anyone lose a fez?
Welcome back, everyone. You're right here at geeksofdoom.com, and you're listening to the TARDIS Blend. My name is Greg Davies.
We got Tom Cheridar.
And we're hanging out here, and we're going to be looking at the new episode of Doctor Who, The Witch's Familiar. But first, Tom, we've got a bit of news that's going on, particularly over in the UK at the moment. It seems that some of the fans are panicking.
What's that?
Well, the ratings have plummeted.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, Doctor Who gets roughly an average of 6 million views over in the overnights.
They were getting upwards of almost 10.
Well, it depends on the time of the year, but the opening episodes usually get around 6. The last week's episode, Magician's Apprentice, went from the average of 6 million down to 4 million. And this week's episode has gone to 3.7 million. And some of the fans are really panicking about this. I really don't think it's a big concern when you take into account that the Rugby World Cup is on at the moment. So most of the people are tuning into that.
Oh, I hadn't realized that. Yeah. Also, this is a global business now.
Yeah.
They're making tons of money in America.
Mm-hmm.
They're making money on licensing fees in Canada, in Australia,
yeah,
parts of Asia, India. This is still – we're good. It's okay.
Yeah, I agree. There's also the fact that it's now an online economy as well. Like a lot of people, particularly in the UK, decide not to watch Doctor Who live on TV. They end up just going straight to iPlayer at their convenience to watch the latest episode.
Yeah.
So that doesn't factor into the overnight. So would it be fair to say that
they've also made it much easier now for like the third straight season, made it so easy to watch it anywhere.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Right.
So people are now trained and kind of caught up.
But is it safe to say that the rating system, the traditional rating system, is really of no longer any relevance to Doctor Who?
No, I think it's definitely still relevant because there are, you know, like anything else, it will, right now that's kind of the prime spot. It's the debut time for most, of the world, where it debuts. And in America, it's a, you know, it's not far off. It's still going to be like a spot for advertising that, you know, you want to be first and quick. But I think you'll see over time, they'll still monitor those numbers, but it's not going to make them like really freaking out because they're going down. Of course they're going down. They've given them, you know, 1,700 other ways to watch Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
But that other one's still a really valuable spot, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other bit of news I wanted to share with you, me being a metalhead, I'm over the moon about this, but Corey Taylor, the lead vocalist for Slipknot, is going to be in Doctor Who. Well, not physically. His voice will be. He is providing his metallic screams and growls for a character or creature or something in a future episode. So I thought that was kind of neat that, you know, a metal band gets involved in Doctor Who. Nice to see. But let's get into the latest episode, which most people are probably fresh from watching. The Witch is Familiar. And again, I'll remind everyone that we do talk about spoilers here, so you have been warned. Do you mind if I jump into my rating first?
Let's do it.
Okay. Dude. I want to talk about my rating. This episode, like the previous episode, all the way through this episode 2, I was at a 5 out of 5. And then the sonic sunglasses came out and ruined everything. So they lose a point for that. I thought the sonic sunglasses thing was a major disappointment. And the whole thing about how the TARDIS reappears with some techno babble that actually seems more like a Harry Potter magic trick rather than the sciencey stuff of Doctor Who. It really took away from the episode for me.
I mean, I've got very specific things that took me away. But why did they take you away, though?
Because I was really digging on the fact that he was sonic screwdriver free. I really thought that they were going to be going in that direction. I really felt that it was going to be something of a challenge for the writers. Because the sonic screwdriver had become... And this was a complaint that you and I both had from last season. It had become more than just a magic wand. It was a get-out-of-jail-free card. It was really starting to become a crutch for the writers. And yeah, it really needed to go. And so I was thrilled to see...
It cheapened the character.
Huh?
It cheapened the character.
I think so, too. So when it comes out that he's into wearable technology, please. Tacky.
Yeah. That, you know, this is funny too, and my girlfriend Katie, who was watching it with us, as soon as that happened at the end, she was like, okay, I hate this, and I hate his stupid Brock intro at the beginning, it makes me hate it so much worse. So really? She hated it to begin with, but it sort of took it away from me too, and I was like, no. No Sonic sunglasses.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know whether they're going to be...
the one-off thing.
Well, if it is, then great. But if not, I mean, I would have liked it if the...
You know what else is a crutch? Can I stop for a
yeah,
second?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The fact that every doctor has to establish their own little quirky thing. I like it. I think it's cool. And I think in Matt Smith's case, he picked the bow tie, but I didn't feel like he did it to be like, here's my different doctor thing, which is why it worked. And then, you know, the fez, that sort of just kind of came about, you know? Like it was sort of characters. I feel like Capaldi is sort of like looking at it, like, what's my thing going to be? And I'm like, you're trying too hard.
I'm not sure about that.
I feel like he's trying too hard.
I think if anything is, if there's any quirky fashion thing about this doctor, it has potential to be the sunglasses. That's true. because he really hasn't asserted a particular style or element about his character yet. I mean, the jacket is one thing, with the red lining on the inside. I mean, that's pretty identifiable. Say
that,
dude,
but there was a doctor that had a celery stick.
Yes, that's true.
You know, so it's sort of like, come on, man. Not that I particularly like that, but it's been done.
Well, who knows? I mean, it's really going to see. We'll see how it pans out. But there was some indication that the simplification of the Doctor's costume, with you know the inclusion of the sunglasses, was apparently inspired a little bit by Peter Capaldi in the sense that what he really wanted to do was to create a Doctor that kids could cosplay as, dress up as. If, you know, they couldn't afford fancy costumes with bow ties and scarves and whatnot.
I see.
So he was trying to simplify it for the kids, which is a cool explanation. But story-wise, it just didn't really work this episode, and it really took away from it. That being said, though...
Let's call some fashion designers up, and they can, you know what I'm saying? They can, in the mind of a chef,
They need the Davies Charidard fashion consultants.
Yeah, you know, like, we'll show you how to do amazing things with ramen, but...
Well, we'll see how it pans out as far as that's concerned.
But my attire is just lots of grungy, dirty superhero t-shirts.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, this Doctor's wearing t-shirts this season, by the looks of it, so we'll see how that goes.
What are some of the things that you didn't like, though?
That was it. That was really it. What about you?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So, I'm tempted to go with my likes, but I'm glad that you did that. I wanted to make sure so I got all of the bad out because there was also so much good. I really disliked that this one towards the end just had super messagey, like, I felt like it was a Hallmark moment at the end.
What, the whole premise about mercy?
Yeah, like, they drove the point home, and then, like, at the end, they're like, let's reinforce it for the kids at home. And I'm like, please stop. Please stop.
And well, it's just actually, like, I'm going to have to disagree with you there. I thought that was a pretty pertinent plot point, because it was the
Doctor... I liked it. I just think it should have been unacknowledged.
Well, it was the Doctor who realized the incorporation of mercy into the Daleks' vernacular, that it was impossible for Davros to have implemented that into the makeup of the Daleks unless he went back and intervened.
Yeah. And so what we saw was actually at the beginning.
Right. And so his rescue of Davros and encouraging mercy, always mercy, is what actually saves Clara Oswald. So it was like a long strategy game.
Yeah. And I did like that part of it. I just was like, just, it's really like this, the execution of it.
Right. You
know? Like, I get it, and I wish that they would have done it in, like, I just felt like they took a baseball bat and smacked me over the head with it. I'm like, yep, I get it. I get it. So that was a criticism I had. And I gotta say, a lot of mine were sort of very specific little things that kind of irked me.
Okay.
And I'll start with this. I really hate that they were like, yeah, if you get emotional, it powers the Dalek gun, when they were doing that whole explanation. And that's all I want to say, but I'll transition into all of this shit that I liked, which, like, you know, Missy explaining to Clara how the Daleks think was some of the best deconstruction of the Daleks, I think, that we've seen since Genesis saw the Daleks.
Agreed. Well, it's interesting because that also built upon a lot of the stuff that Moffat had already established in his tenure as showrunner as well. So it was just reinforcing a lot of that stuff. But they went a step further and like you said, completely deconstructed it.
Yeah. And it was just, it was really cool because they seem more intimidating and scared, sort of like, he humanized the Daleks but kept them very, like, scary. Like, if there's somebody if you're powered by emotion and you're getting frustrated because you keep trying to tell somebody you don't want to kill them, and then they do something stupid or lash out, and then you just kill them. You know?
Yeah, I love the way that Davros's technology in creating the Daleks deliberately mistranslates what the Daleks are actually saying. Like, they have no names. If they try to say their names, it translates as, I am a Dalek.
Yeah.
And the emotions that they put into really pushes the fury.
I am your friend, yeah. Is...
Exterminate. Yeah, exactly. And I like that.
Are my enemy or what was it?
I like that. And it kind of like, it reinforces Davros's paranoia about his own creations as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, now, one thing I liked.
And everything Missy was in was amazing.
Yeah, I thought she was good this episode.
Makes the show so much better.
Yeah, she was good this episode too. I agree with you there. My favorite part of the episode, the Doctor in Davros's chair.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Anyone for Dodgems? I loved it.
Comment about the tea.
Oh yeah, that was really good. That was really, really good as well. I found it interesting though that in another episode where Clara is trapped within a Dalek, back in Asylum of the Daleks, you know, we have this situation with Soufflé Girl, and the Doctor is fixated on where did she get the milk for the soufflé.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, demanding an explanation for it. But when he does it and makes a cup of tea, he's just fine with just saying, I'm the Doctor, it's relevant.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was nice. It was a nice little touch there. Actually, the comedy in this episode was actually pretty spot on as well. Like the whole, the only other chair on Skaro.
Yeah.
That was good. Your sewers
are. It wasn't like, let's make a ham out of ourselves.
Yeah.
It's legitimately funny.
Yeah. The timing was great. Your sewers are revolting was another good line. You know, there was some good puns and good jokes in this episode. Good ones that.
It still felt really dark.
Huh?
It still felt really dark.
Yes,
though.
It did. In fact, I want to jump into Davros's character real quick. Julian Bleach playing Davros. I mean, the execution of his deception towards the Doctor, where he opens his eyes and he cries and they share a laugh, or, you know, all of that stuff. Like it, and then the revelation that he was like stringing the Doctor along. I thought that was just so wonderfully executed. It was brilliant. You know, it was convincing. In fact,
yeah,
that, you know, that there was a change going on there with Davros, and there was a connection being made between the Doctor and Davros. In fact, that whole moment where they share a laugh about his joke about the Doctor not being a very good Doctor reminds me a little bit of the concluding scenes in the Batman graphic novel, The Killing Joke, where Batman and the Joker share a laugh.
Yeah, I definitely see a lot of that.
Yeah. So there was a nice little connective tissue between the two going on there. And just the way he deceived the Doctor, but also the whole, this whole episode, in particular, this second part was really a showcase of, the Doctor versus Davros in a chess match. Like it was showcasing both of their, abilities as master strategists, and that they had long-term plans, and that, you know, this was a clash of wit and wisdom, and it was a long game that they were both playing against each other. You know, I thought that was masterfully done. I thought it was nicely done.
You know, and I also feel like even though he tried to pull a fast one on the Doctor, everything that he said in those touching moments towards the end, I still think are true. You know?
Well, with Davros, there's always a little grain of truth to what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, it's an interesting insight in the way that he was able to... He acted the shit out of it.
Yeah, totally.
I'll say that, like, because you believed it, and I believe that he believed that, and that's how he could convincingly... That's how I was able to watch it and see how he duped the Doctor.
Well, you got
to
remember, I mean,
he duped the Doctor.
The role of Davros is incredibly restrictive, really. When you look at it, you've got that big mask on, your eyes are shut most of
the
time.
You're only half a dude.
Yeah, you know, it's
you're a torso.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, in a Dalek chair. So, you know, there's not a lot to go with. And yet he magnificently sold it to the viewers. I thought it was brilliantly executed. Bleach is most definitely the best Davros that I think has ever been in the entire history of Doctor Who. He's done it absolutely. He did a great job, when he appeared as Davros under David Tennant's reign. But I really think he completely dominated the role with these two episodes with Peter Capaldi. And on that note, Peter Capaldi, again, fantastic as ever. Best Doctor in my mind. There's no doubts in my brain about that whatsoever. He is just superb. I love his mannerisms. I love, that quirky style of question answer thing that he does with his lines. I thought that was like a nice little addition to the character that stuck with him into this season. I dig it. I dig Peter Capaldi as the Doctor. It's fantastic.
I'm liking this season. I'm liking where it's going. I'm going to give them a 4 out of 5.
I agree with you. I'm going to give it a 4. It was a 5 up until the sonic sunglasses. They lost a point because of that. Yeah, I thought it was cheap writing. I thought it was just it was silly. It was really silly. And it didn't necessarily need to be there. And, they could still save it. I mean, the concept of the sonic sunglasses, I mean, they could still save that if they flesh that out a little bit more through the season, if they keep using it. But I would like to see, another Doctor like the fifth Doctor with the celery stick and no sonic screwdriver. Give him a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, make it tough on the guy. You know, that's what we love about him is the fact that, you know, 9 times out of 10, he fights his way out of a situation using his brain, using his wit, his intelligence, rather than brute force or use of weapons or little tricks like sonic screwdrivers. And that's kind of the detour that, Doctor Who has taken over the last, 2 seasons in particular.
Yeah. Mm. So let's talk about, let's do a little, guesstimation and predictions.
Yeah, it's about time for that.
First one I want to go. Well, before we get into that, let me mention one surprising thing that happened last night. Missy, when she's going in and announcing herself to Davros, she said, "Tell him the bitch is back."
Mm-hmm.
Which I was kind of shocked that they let that go through, and you know, not because like British parents and, you know, parents in the UK don't freak out over things like this the way that parents in America do, but parents in America do, and presumably in other parts of the world they may as well. And I was just I thought that was an interesting choice of words that they let her get away with. And then I stopped and I was like, you know, I'm not really complaining.
That's no, awesome. No, you're not. Awesome. You're highlighting a shift in culture is what you're talking about.
I liked it. I thought it was awesome.
The British won't freak out about it, but they do complain. In fact, there's already complaints going around in the fan community that because of the sequence of the Doctor stealing Davros's chair, Stephen Moffat is being disrespectful to the disabled and the handicapped. If you can believe that. So yes, the complaints, I'm sure complaints are going into the BBC. Traditionally speaking, with all eras of Doctor Who, whenever there's been some kind of shift in or an element, that challenges, the makeup of the show and is a little challenging to the audience, even in this sense of the introduction of a word like bitch, that will inevitably result in complaints to the BBC. But Doctor Who has always been groundbreaking in that, and they stand their ground. And I thought it was amusing. I thought it fit her character, and it wasn't really done in a degrading sense at all. It was done more in a, to me, it was like it was more of a sarcastic humor moment, a bit of a comedic moment.
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, I'm not trying to read too into it. It was just like, I wonder if they had too many conversations about that after it happened.
Oh, I'm sure they did. I'm sure the suits at the BBC were worried about it, and I bet you Stephen Moffat stood his ground.
Yeah, I'm glad he did.
Yeah, so no doubt in my mind, and there's no doubt in my mind that the BBC would have been getting complaints about it. And inevitably, what will happen if they get a if they do get a wealth of complaints, they will apologise, which is basically the BBC's way of saying, okay, we said sorry, now don't mention it again. Let's move on.
Yeah.
You know. All right, predictions. Speaking of Missy, she refers to her daughter in this episode.
Yes.
And I don't know exactly where Moffat was going with that. I've got a feeling that it's... at this stage, I feel that it's just an irrelevant throwaway line to make fans crazy. That's what I'm in my gut. That's what I'm feeling. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think that he well fucked us there, and it will be tucked away as much as we're still waiting on the doctor's daughter.
Yeah.
You know, which was all him. And that's honestly, I like that he's leaving Easter eggs like that for other writers to pick up at a later time.
Well, the line was, this was given to me by the doctor when my daughter ... she got interrupted at that point. So the doctor is aware, perhaps, that she has a daughter. So how that fits into, the relationship between the two of those characters remains to be seen. I mean, there was a sequence in classic Doctor Who in the Peter Davison era where the writers wanted to reveal that the Master was the Doctor's brother. But they decided not to make that part of the plot. They decided to obscure the revelation. And so when the Master goes to say, I'm your brother, he gets disintegrated or whatever. So you don't get to hear his full sentence. And it's very similar to this particular sequence where she was interrupted. I'm not absolutely convinced that it's part of an ongoing plot. I think it's a throwaway line.
Yeah.
But the one thing that, Missy did say, she says a couple of things in this episode. I'm going to talk about the big one first, but it begins with Davros. Davros seems to refer to some form of reason for the Doctor running away from Gallifrey all those years ago. And Missy also mentioned this. It was really highly emphasized in this episode. And I wonder whether that is actually part of the overarching plot for this season.
You know what else, though, is... I don't know that, like, this wasn't a part of a larger plot hole or a larger perspective where we're going to get Missy in charge of the Daleks. She got caught at the end.
Yeah. Well,
she presumably knows, was not scared of that.
Yeah. Well, that's not the first time, by the way. I mean, there's a precedent for that in classic Doctor Who where the Master united with the Daleks and he kind of felt that he was in charge when he actually was not. That could be leading on to one of those, like a future episode, which is kind of like a bit of a remake or a tip of the hat to that classic episode, maybe, where the Master is united with the Daleks. I did kind of get that feeling. I did like the explanation at the beginning of the episode how Missy escaped with Clara and, you know, using the vortex manipulator. That was confirmed. We predicted that last week.
I really like how they spelled that out, though.
Yeah, the way that they put that out. And who doesn't want to see Doctor Who and the Vampire Monkeys? I mean, that would be a fantastic episode. Bring on the Vampire Monkeys.
It's going to be, I'm sure it'll turn into an audiobook at least.
Well, maybe. That would be interesting. A big Finnish production? Yeah, that would be good.
Well, here's the thing, is they stuck them all, you know, she even makes a reference like, I can't remember his face, but they're all the same to me.
Right.
So you could easily pick it up for any version of the Doctor.
Yeah, but we went with the eyebrows for this episode.
Yeah.
Now... Clara Oswald in the Dalek. The closing scene where the Doctor is holding the Dalek gun, aiming at the Clara Dalek, and Missy is trying to convince the Doctor to kill the Dalek, which is actually Clara inside, and the miscommunication's going on, yada, yada, yada. At the conclusion of that sequence, Missy also states a callback to reasons why she set up Clara to become the Doctor's companion. Now, we need to remember that it was Missy that gave Clara the phone number to the Doctor. If you remember the Bells of St. John's from back in the day with Matt Smith, she was of the understanding that it was a helpline, like a help desk line or something along those lines, to unite the two. Are we returning to this concept in this season again? I mean, it would make sense. This is her last season with Doctor Who. And there was that line that Missy said, something about the friend inside the enemy inside the friend. If you recall, last season we had an ongoing theory about Clara being an enemy of the Doctor. Like, at the moment she is a friend, but she becomes an enemy. Is it possible that that is something that Moffat's picked up on and we're going to go that direction this season?
I'm curious to see how they leave Clara's relationship with the Doctor.
Yeah.
And how Missy fits into more, because I feel like she is a regular this season.
Is she not? I don't know. I mean, I haven't, like I said, I've tried to remain as spoiler free as possible, so I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if she does return, but I don't have any expectations for it.
What if Missy becomes the companion for a while?
That would be, well, I don't know how that would work, because what you tend to find when there's some kind of unification between the Master and the Master inevitably either wants to kill the Doctor or steal the Doctor's TARDIS. So there's only
which would happen.
Yeah, there's only so much that you can really do with that. I don't know. I mean, the unity between those two characters was underscored with these two episodes, because for this specific two-parter, to underscore how serious the situation was for the Doctor. He wasn't expecting to get out of this one alive.
Yeah.
But he did. Well, that's all I've got. I mean, there's a couple of other things from last week, like some of the convoluted ideas that were dropped, like the confession seal that he gave to Missy, the appearance of the Shadow Proclamation, the line they dropped about the suicide moons. We did discuss last week that the underlying theme, which continued this episode, was choices and consequences of those choices. So I guess we'll see how that pans out for the next few episodes of Doctor Who and see if that theme continues. But it'll be interesting to see where we're going to go at this point, because this is a cracking opening to this season. Last week we gave it 9 out of 10. This week we're giving this one 8 out of 10. That's a pretty high rating, above average for us, and it's a good start to the season. So let's hope that the trend continues for series 9 of Doctor Who.
Yes, and no more wearable technology.
Yeah, let's get rid of that.
Yeah, he just looked like an old man futzing with crap.
I dig the punk rock aspect to it, though. It's kind of cool, like the post-punk more than anything else. But anyway, that's it for us, I think. You got anything else, Tom?
No, nothing else.
All right, folks. Well, we will catch you again next week for another edition of The TARDIS Blend. Episode 3 of Doctor Who is coming out next week. Starts a little later than usual over in the UK. 8:25, I think, the starting time is for that episode, so we'll see how that pans out. Tom, where can we catch you online?
You know what? Just check out Greg's stuff. It's advice stuff.
Right. Well, you can check me out over at Heavy Metal Historian, which is at heavymetal666.com, and Blendover at blendover.com. And of course, we highly recommend that you check out the Drill Down, the other podcast here at geeksofdoom.com, which you can see in the podcast directory at Geeks of Doom. We'll catch you next time. See you later. Dilly go.